Karen Conti, attorney at Conti Law, joins us. Karen, good morning. Yesterday, as you know, a jury found two corporate entities of Donald Trump's family business guilty of tax dodging. The former president was not charged. What are the future consequences for the Trump organization and for Donald Trump personally here?
Well, the consequences for the Trump organization are not real significant. Just a small fine for them is $1.6 million. And they probably will be barred for several years from doing business in New York. But they can't disband the company, and they can't really put anyone in jail at this point, other than the CFO, who has already pled guilty. But this is something that is kind of a precursor to perhaps other prosecutions. And there has been talk that Donald Trump knew about some of these things, and that he has some personal culpability. So again, there are ongoing investigations. There's a civil suit, and I just don't think Donald Trump's troubles are over at this point.
The federal appeals court threw out the Florida judge's ruling appointing a special master to review those Mar-a-Lago documents. What does that mean for the ongoing investigation there?
Well, that special master, for people who, for lawyers who kind of know this kind of law, everyone was shocked that it was even appointed in the first place. That special master ruling was very bizarre to everybody. And so the fact that the appellate court, even though it was a Trump court, a very conservative court, overturned it was not surprising. This is just going to speed up the investigation. What the special master did was slowed it down. And clearly, U.S. Department of Justice is able to send subpoenas when there's probable cause and to do their investigation and to bring charges if appropriate and no charges if not appropriate. So I think this is going to speed up that investigation as to whether there was wrongdoing when it comes to the Mar-a-Lago documents.
Let's turn to Alex Jones now. He has filed for bankruptcy. Will the Sandy Hook families ever see any money? And by the way, how is this guy still working? How is he still doing his show after all this?
Well, yeah, and he's got a good amount of guests, like Kanye West, or should I say Ye? I don't know if you saw that clip, but wow.
Yeah, unfortunately, anyway, yeah. I did. Yeah.
It's, yeah, I don't know how he still has followers. But listen, the bankruptcy laws do not allow people who do bad intentional things to get away with it and to not have to pay. So listen, if you have a contract or you just ran out of money because you had too many credit card bills or you were sick or whatever, that's what bankruptcy is for, because then all your assets go in a pile, pays off the creditors, pennies to the dollar, and then you can move on in your life. But it's not. When you have a verdict because you intentionally defamed people or you battered people or you did something intentional, the bankruptcy laws exempt those kinds of judgments from bankruptcy discharging. So you can go bankrupt, but I think the courts are going to say, no, you still have to pay those judgments. And he had plenty of assets and different assets. He's been moving around, apparently taking things out of his name and putting them into different shell corporations. All of that's going to be rolled back. And it's going to be a lawyer's nightmare to try to roll the money back. And I do think that these victims are going to get some money. I don't think it's going to be all of the billion-dollar verdict that was given by the judge, but I think I think he's not going to get away with this.
Yeah, that whole thing is a nightmare. In the Uvalde school shooting, there's a $27 billion class action suit against the school and the police. Are there motives here other than money, Karen?
I think so. And, you know, when you have people who are so angry, rightly so, that their children are injured and killed, you have people who want change and they want the answers. They want to see the documents. And sometimes this lawsuit is the only way that you have subpoena power to get the documents that might give you the answers to the questions that you have. I mean, these parents filed a lawsuit against the gun manufacturer already. They filed a suit against the gun seller. And now they're suing, again, all the police departments, all the school, all the security systems. And, you know, they want answers and they want change. And, you know, no amount of money, of course, is going to bring their children back. But I think that might be their goal, is just to try to get answers and to make this system a little safer.
What did you think about the case before the Supreme Court, the web designer from Colorado who is claiming she shouldn't be forced to create websites that show approval for same-sex marriage? What do you think the court's going to do?
Well, I think this court is very conservative, and I think this court likes to protect religious rights and likes to protect this First Amendment freedom of expression. But this is a clash of two different rights, Bob. We have the right to have a same-sex marriage people be served by public businesses. I mean, you want people of color, people, minorities to be able to go into businesses, to sit down and have a hamburger or to go into a hotel. And that's what those laws protect. And then the other law is that what the web designer is saying is that you can't make me, under the First Amendment, you can't force me to create something that is against my views. And that by doing this, by forcing me to create this website for people who I don't believe in their beliefs, is a violation of First Amendment. I mean, my opinion is that, you know, if you're doing business, you've got to serve people, and you've got to serve people regardless of color, race, religion, national origin, and all of those things. But I think the court's probably going to come down that when it's something creative, that maybe that person has a right to say, no, I won't serve you.
We shall see. I know, Karen, that you went to a few of the swearing-ins for the Illinois Supreme Court and the Illinois Appellate Court. What was that like?
Well, it's great because, you know, some of the really good people have now ascended to the bench. And when you have good people up there, it's good to see. But one of the things that I wanted to say was so interesting is that our Supreme Court in Illinois has 7 justices and 5 of them are women. 3 of them are African-American, and diversity is just so important. It's nice to look up to a bench and see women there, you know, because usually, I mean, for years and years and hundreds of years, it was just men. And same with the appellate courts. The first time in history of the Chicago Appellate Court here, First District, they call it, that we have 50% women up there. Mm-hmm. So, again, it's always good for people in the justice system, whether it's criminal justice, whether it's appellate, to see people with faces that look like themselves. Congratulations, yeah,
good,
I guess.
Good to news to end on with you this morning. Thank you, Karen. Talk to you next week.
All right, Bob. Take care.